Blog Talk Radio.
I thought I had that set to not play, but that's okay. Welcome to the Sludge Pit.
What the fuck was that? Oh. I have a fucking pompous ass that's come strutting out and is like, I am King Mr. Chubbikins.
Oh, okay then. Well, yes, welcome to the Sludge Pit. I'm Doc Sludge, as everybody's heard my voice before. And the new voice you hear in the background, that's our friend Jason. Say, hey, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
I knew he was going to do that.
I did, too. And we have our Dark Diva, Danae. How are you tonight, Danae?
Good. How are you?
I am exhaustipated. That is not a combination of exhausted and constipated. It's just really, really freaking tight.
No, it's just a combination of exhaust and masturbated.
Oh, jeez. Moving on. So, welcome
this
to the Sludge
Pit.
This
is what I have to work with.
Oh, it's only going to go downhill from here.
Yeah, really. This is our first
Sludge Pit for nothing.
Remember, there are slimy things in the sludge pit that may just poke you. Anyway, as everybody who's listening, if there's anybody listening right now, can tell, we are really tired because it's 11 o'clock at night. Oh, and honestly, this was the only time slot that we could get together this week because of conflicting schedules, work otherwise, and just pure worky stuff. So, we're actually going to try and move the show to a more civilized time, of probably on Sundays, but we have to double-check everything, and we're going to work on that. So, this is the...
Yeah, I got to go check with my pimp.
Yeah, I got a question about that. Does your pimp have a goldfish in his shoes?
No, but he does wear a big, giant, furry coat and drives around in a candy tangerine Rolls Royce.
Excellent. Okay, well, as all the weirdness is starting here, the main focus of our show tonight is what I like to call analog TV memories. What are analog TV memories? That's a great question. A lot of newer people around here, aka people who were born around 2005, 2009-ish in that area, are completely unfamiliar with old-style television broadcasts. Meaning analog. And analog consists of UHF, VHF, and cable TV. And UHF was ultra high frequency, VHF is very high frequency. And you could find a whole plethora of awesome things to watch all the time. And just for example, we'd have guys like Godzilla movies on the weekends and Kung Fu films over here. And, you know, TV stations actually closed down for the night and would, play the national anthem and then either go dark or have like a pattern on the screen. That doesn't happen anymore because everything's computerized. But anyway, there's a little bit of a history here that I have pulled directly from Wikipedia, and I'm giving them 100% credit for this. This is from Wikipedia. I'm reading this word for word from the Wikipedia website, once again from Wikipedia. The DTV, abbreviation of digital television, also known as digital broadcast transition in the United States, was a switchover from analog, which was a traditional method of transmitting television signals, to exclusively digital broadcasting of free over-the-air television programming. And according to David Rear, the president and CEO of National Association of Broadcasters, this transition represented the most significant advancement of television technology since color TV was introduced. For full-power TV stations, the transition went into effect on June 12, 2009, with stations ending regular programming on their analog signals no later than 11:59 p.m. local time that day. Yeah, so digital happened. And then everything kind of went downhill. The downhill part is actually our opinion on that, but a lot of things changed when digital hit. Back when I was young in the 80s, we would have all sorts of crazy monster movies and all sorts of weird, weird shows pop up through local cable access channels and different things you would never expect to see. For one of the weirdest things I remember from my younger days when UHF and VHF, I was in the hospital having some issues with my appendix, and I remember specifically waking up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with the TV on, and there were two very angry women on the TV. This is really strange, but it did happen because I can verify it. On their backboard of their little studio shot, they had a drawing of a uterus. And they were yelling and screaming about how it's powerful and this and, you know, and it was just completely mind-blowing to me at the age of, like, 12, seeing this, like, oh, my gosh, this is the weirdest thing ever, but it's awesome at the same time. Nowadays, you'd never see that. Right, guys?
No. Nope.
For the most part.
Well, you can find stuff like that if you, like, on YouTube. But it was more fun to discover it accidentally.
Yeah. And, you know, it seemed like every weekend or every weekend a monster movie was on. It was usually either King Kong versus Godzilla or Godzilla versus Mothra or, you know, something like that, one of the Frankenstein movies or one of the Hammer films. It was really an awesome time back in the, well, I was around for the 80s and 90s, but back through the 60s through 2009, when everything went digital, you could definitely find a lot more stuff to watch. I mean, it just felt like the FCC, that's the Federal Communications Commission, wasn't so much of a stickler. I mean, you could watch the movie Piranha on the Late Late Show. And then after the program was over, the show, the channel was shut down. So, you know, it's really kind of interesting. Like, another thing I remember from when I was a kid was, I think Howard Stern had a TV show. It was called the Channel 9 Show, and it was actually beamed in from, this is analog, over, I think it was WXXI, or one of those stations.
No, it was
WWOR
in New Jersey.
Yes. Jason's got it. And it was completely unedited. So all the stuff Howard pulled on the radio show while it was on, it was there. And the FCC really didn't bother him too much at that time. But then they got into this whole thing, and Grandpa Munster was actually quoted saying, "Oh, fuck the FCC," and I love him for that. Yes, I do. Grandpa Al Lewis. So, Jason, do you have any memories of really odd things from back of the day of analog broadcasting?
Not really. I mean, because generally in my experience, there wasn't much difference between analog television and digital television. Because mostly a lot of the stuff you saw, you can still kind of see now. It's just, you know, most of the time, you know, like if they were going to say show the movie Piranha during the afternoon, it would be heavily edited for television, but if they played it after a certain time at night, then they would play a bit more unedited because, you know, FCC regulations, which actually stems from actually an old practice way, way back in the early days of television where it's like the good television seal. You can usually see on like old TV shows like I Love Lucy or stuff from like around the 30s to 40s where they basically sat there and it's like, oh, you can't show two people in bed together. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. That was just basically self-regulated guidelines that they followed, similar to the Hays Code in Hollywood.
I remember that, yeah. my grandmother used to tell me about back in the movies, you know, movies and television, men and women were not supposed to be seen in the same bed. You know, if there was like a love scene, you'd see like something else besides it happening. Just it seems
like a train going through a tunnel, stuff like that.
Right.
You know, or stock footage of soldiers storming the beaches of Normandy. You know, goofy.
The dog outside the door thumping his tail impatiently. Fireworks.
Yeah, definitely. And how about you, Nay?
Before I talk about my memories, is anyone familiar with the Weird Al movie called UHF?
Yeah,
oh, my God, yes.
That's to our younger audiences, that is pretty much how it was in those days. That is the kind of stuff. I mean, it's a bit exaggerated in the movie, but that's the kind of stuff that you would find back in the day. One of the things that I really enjoyed was USA Network. It used to be really awesome. They had Saturday Nightmares, and I discovered a lot of the classic horror films, like a lot of the Hammer films and a lot of the more B-movies and just some really creepy stuff like Tourist Trap and this really creepy movie called The Devil's Gift about a killer toy monkey. If you've ever read the Stephen King short story, The Monkey, it's pretty similar to that. That one gave me nightmares. also, Commander USA's Groovy Movies, he had a lot of horror movies and also just some off-the-wall stuff. And another program I liked on USA was Night Flight, which they had movies that did some horror, some exploitation, just off the beaten path. They had music videos. They had interviews with musicians, popular musicians. And they also exposed us to a lot of like the more offbeat bands. Like back in that day, New Wave was really popular. Also, goth was really, really taking off, and they showcased a lot of that. One band that I got exposed to was one called Fields of the Nephilim. I don't know if y'all are familiar with them.
I actually am, believe it or not. I'm very familiar with them. I've got a couple other tunes in my MP3 player. Very, very good.
Cool. And I remembered seeing on the, and then I remember like on the CBS late movie when I was really, really young, actually watching Blood and Roses, which is French director Roger Vadim's interpretation of Carmilla. And then on Night Flight, I was able to see it again. So, and if y'all haven't seen that's a very interesting take on the Jay Sheridan Le Fanu's Carmilla, which was also adapted into Hammer's The Vampire Lovers.
I didn't know that about Hammer. That's awesome. Thank you. Very awesome.
You're welcome.
I'll have to search that one out.
We should do live watches of the Hammer movies.
You know, I think we should do that, too. Some of them are rather hard to find right now, like Dr. Jekyll and Sister Hyde. I did find a Blu-ray of one of that, but it was like $160.
Oh,
and
ew!
Yeah. Yeah. But I actually
in that case, we'll just do the adult version of Jekyll and Hyde.
Hell,
no,
who wants to do the
about Hammer version? Dr. Jekyll and Sister Hyde.
Yeah, there's always the erotic adventures of Zorro. Let's not on that one.
Anything, no matter how innocuous, how innocent, you can find a porn, softcore or hardcore version of.
Well, yeah, there's the internet version of that now called Rule 34. If it exists, there's porn of it.
Yep.
There's even, I've been told that there's even a porn version of Attack on Titan.
There is, and it's
yeah,
disgusting.
There is.
There's a porn version of The Walking Dead for crying out loud.
Oh, that's got to be a real deadbeat right there.
Ew.
Yeah. Well, on the, you know, on the subject of adult material, I remember watching an episode of USA Up All Night, and they played Doris Wishman's Nude on the Moon, but of course it was edited. And I remember sitting straight up in bed going, ooh.
Oh, man, I used to remember watching one of my favorite things to watch. One of my favorite movies that they played on USA Up All Night was the one with Leanna Quigley in it, Hollywood Vice Academy. No, Vice Academy.
Nice.
I love those.
And I'll tell you what, Up All Night was actually my first exposure to The Evil Dead 1 and 2.
Really?
Yeah. I remember watching that for the first time. Go ahead, Jason.
No, no, I was just going to say, because I remember the first time I watched Evil Dead 1 and 2 was on a local CBS affiliate. Late at night,
really?
I think it was like around 11 o'clock at night on a Saturday, they played it. Because they used to do, like, I remember one of the, I believe it was the station owner's kid, wanted to try to do like a midnight monster movie show.
Nice.
Because we never really had horror host stuff around here, but you know, he decided to do that, and I remember catching Night of the Living Dead on there and also the Evil Dead films.
Yeah, I remember.
I mean,
I spent a lot of my youth over in Utica, which is relatively close to where Jason lives, about 45 minutes southwest. And they had the main broadcast. They have News Channel 2, WKTV, which I actually have a real love for because it's a good. They've always been a good channel. And there were a couple of the broadcast channels.
And
they
used to be the only channel, too.
Yeah, they used to be the only channel.
Until
and then there was a couple that.
No, I was just going to say, right up until the 1970s, they were the only station in town.
Yep, then a couple of them popped up and died really quickly, which is, that's a bummer.
No, not really.
Yeah,
what happened was, because we had, first was WKTV, then around the 1970s, WTR popped up. They're still around. Then sometime after that, WFXV, which started as like the only Utica UHF station, which, believe it or not, actually used to be based out of, their actual station was a garage in North Utica.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. And then until the freaking cops were called on them, and then they moved it out to the dump in freaking Rome. And that's where they stayed for years. Until finally they were bought out by the owners of WTR, and they were moved over to Smith Hill, where they are now.
Interesting. I remember hearing the tales of...
Sorry.
I remember hearing the tales about them. That's no problem. But yeah, just the crazy stuff that used to happen on cable television, or cable and broadcast television back in the day was absolutely insane. I mean, when I mentioned Nude on the Moon, that's one of those nudie cutie movies from the 60s, late 60s, that, you know, you have these, well, beautiful women from the 1960s, you know, and just walking around topless and all that other stuff, and the guys are just kind of like, and that's the reason why they were actually kind of pretty much okay with having movies like that in theaters, because the guys were just walking idiots and like, I see a plant over there, let's investigate. And there's like four women like, my tatas are right here. You know, that's, it's just the whole nudie cutie thing. And we'll have to do a show on those some other time.
Oh yeah. One of the best nudie cuties ever, in my opinion, was not House on Bear Mountain. Kiss Me Quick. That one's hilarious.
That's a double feature on a Something Weird disc.
With House on Bear Mountain. That's why.
What's that?
I have not seen those. I've heard of them, but I have not seen them.
Oh, Kiss Me Quick is basically the plot, if I even can call it that. It was basically this mad scientist is trying to create the perfect woman. And he basically has a lab full of freaking naked women. And this alien pops up trying to find a woman for his planet.
Yeah, and they're just like, wow, look at that piece of sheet over there on the wall. It's really neat. And
yeah, it's like, oh, here, look at these women playing in the water in this little freaking wading pool. And they're all sitting there trying to look sexy. Every time they notice the cameras on them, they try to act all sexy and stuff. It's hilarious.
It's just the silliness factor. It's just like, geez. But anyway.
Orgy the Dead's another fun one.
I mean, we mostly have been talking about the horror aspect of, you know, broadcast television back in the day, but there was also comedy too. I know everyone's familiar with George Carlin's 7 Deadly Words You Can't Say on Television and Radio, and that was actually broadcast on television several times up until somebody complained to the FCC, and that's why they pretty much became the 7 Deadly Words You Can't Say on Television and Radio, because they were banned, and then the FCC came up with this idea that Jason mentioned earlier, that stuff that's a little bit more harsh can be played after a certain time of the day, because that's when children should be asleep in bed, not watching television.
Oh yeah, that's why I like shows like by the 80s, 90s, you had shows like what was it? NYPD Blue, which actually showed freaking nudity. It was being played at such a late hour, so.
Yeah.
Yep, and Freddy's Nightmares, and Tales from the Dark Side, you know.
Well, those were not actual regular network shows. Those were actually syndication shows, first-run syndication series. Basically, how those worked were they were sold to stations directly to play in off hours.
Right.
Usually,
those
are really big with the UHF station, independent UHF stations. Because, you know, they needed original content, and it was cheaper just to buy a first-run syndication series than it was to actually invest the time and the money and the manpower to make your own shows. So that's why you got shows like, you know, Tales from the Dark Side, Highlander the series, Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, Xena was also a first-run show. Was a first-run syndication series. Friday the 13th series was a first-run syndication series.
Monsters,
it was War of the Worlds.
And Monsters was a sequel to Tales from the Dark Side, which was actually partially produced by George Romero. Was it Romero? Yes. Romero had
Was originally going to be Creepshow, the TV series.
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, I believe it was Warner Brothers had the rights to the Creepshow name at the time, and so George couldn't use it. So him and Stephen King were just like, okay, we're just going to call this Creep, you know, Tales from the Dark Side. Which is
also
kind of funny because Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, was going to be Creepshow 3.
Yeah, and then the Creepshow 3 that exists now is absolutely freaking awful. Don't watch it.
Yeah, a movie that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, definitely was it. But back to broadcasting. Now, one of my favorite things to do for years and years and years was to get up on Saturday mornings and watch Saturday morning cartoons. Kids don't have Saturday morning cartoons anymore, unless you go to Cartoon Network. But Cartoon Network is actually very sucky, honestly. When Boomerang is better because it's got Scooby-Doo, and I love Scooby-Doo. If you probably will hear me say groovy a lot in the coming days, but you know that's why I love Scooby-Doo. Yeah, I mean,
and
we had Ninja Turtle.
Whenever he
yes.
said, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting.
That's okay. No, that's okay. Go for it.
Now, folks, you get used to this, because every time he says groovy, I have to say, hail to the king, baby.
But it's actually interesting you brought up Saturday morning cartoons. You want to know why Saturday morning cartoons went away?
Yes, please.
What?
It was partially two things. It was, I believe it was a piece of legislation that was passed, I believe, during the Clinton administration, which mandated that X amount of time had to be devoted on network television, i.e. channels that are traditionally broadcasted over the air, like your local stations and stuff like that, had to have X amount of hours of educational or informative programming. And since they didn't want to disrupt their normal broadcast schedules, because, you know, like NBC has, you know, the Today Show, I believe ABC or CBS had Good Morning America, and so on and so forth. They're just like, well, where the hell are we going to stick this? Oh, I know. We'll just stick it where we used to stick cartoons on the weekends and put the educational informative programming there. So at that time when barely anybody's watching anymore, and boom. And it turned out to be also cheaper for them because they didn't have to sit there and pay the money to make the cartoons anymore. Because basically, Saturday morning cartoons back in the 80s were mainly just, for the most part, just generally big, giant commercials for various toys and stuff like that.
Yes, and the perfect examples are He-Man and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the cartoon show, was nowhere even close to being as dark and evil and nasty as Eastman and Laird's Ninja Turtles. Now, Archie also did a version of their comic, which was more family-friendly and is actually very, very good also. Now, IDW has got the rights, and they're doing a wonderful job with it, too. So, yeah.
You also forgot G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe is also a big
oh, my God, yeah.
Too.
And Transformers, when they killed Optimus Prime, all hell broke loose, and that's why it actually failed back in the late 80s, is because Optimus Prime was the hero, godlike figure, and you get rid of, and you kill him off, and all heck breaks loose, and, you know, everybody.
Oh, yeah, there's the only reason why they did that. They killed off Optimus Prime, plus also you go back and watch the original Transformers animated movie. It was more than just him who got killed off. Like, a bunch of the Gen 1 characters were just killed off early on in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hasbro sat there and said, we want these characters killed off so we can introduce new characters for new toys. That was
exactly.
It. That's why they all died.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So there's definitely a lot more information to cover, that's for sure. So there will be a part two to the Analog TV Memories show. We're going to... in the future, we're definitely going to reschedule one probably next weekend. We'll definitely rock and roll with more information and everything. Is there anything anybody wants to add? Because I am just so, oh my gosh, I'm so tired because it's been a long day. So, you guys got anything?
I am the Lizard King.
I knew you were going to say that, Jay. I knew you were going to say that. How about you, Danae?
Not just cartoons, but they had some really cool, in the 70s, live-action Saturday morning programs. Like
the Sid Meier's stuff.
Yeah, and they had the Shazam Isis Hour. They had Big John, Little John. There is another show, I can't remember the name of it, but it had these teenage guys that were detectives. And I think I had a crush on every single one of them.
Oh, the Monkees?
And then, huh?
Was it the Monkees?
No, well,
oh,
yeah,
No, it wouldn't be the Monkees.
See, this wasn't the Monkees. This was, oh, God, I used to know the name of them. But anyway, I used to watch that one, too. And I'm just really disgusted with what passes for children's programming nowadays. Anyway, that's my tangent.
You still there?
Okay, sorry about that, everybody. We just had a massive communications issue here. We basically, everybody's signal went dead at about 11:30. We do apologize for that. We are having some technical difficulties with the board. I'm very sorry. We will definitely continue our analog TV memories this coming weekend. We probably will be rescheduling to an earlier time, because I'll tell you what, 11 o'clock at night is a rough time to do a show after having worked all week and being sick and all that stuff. So, all right, we do apologize once again, everyone, that we got all of us got disconnected. I was able to hop back into the system. So we will definitely be back this coming weekend for Sludge Pit Episode 3, Analog TV Memories, Live Action Weirdness. All right. Have a good night, everybody, and we do apologize for the audio mess.